You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Earlier today, the Minister of Electricity, Dr. Kgosietso Ramakgopa, held a media briefing to outline South Africa's revised electricity pricing policy. This policy is currently in a draft stage and will be gazetted later in this week. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail with the Minister himself. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of this policy and where it puts our electricity conversation. Malume Sbutla, lovely having you on the show as always. Thank you so much for taking the time. Let's perhaps start our conversation with an overview around the necessity for introducing this policy. South Africa has had quite a bit of change happen in the pricing structure of electricity over the years, especially if I think from 2007 right through to today. The last 20 years have been quite the change in landscape. Take us through the need for introducing this policy at this time.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Jimmy, and good evening to you and the listeners. You're absolutely correct. I think a lot has changed over that 17-year period. The last time we had a policy of this nature was in 2008. So first is the significant change in the consumption patterns of households. I mean, if you look at, let me just take the poorest of the poor and someone who live in a shack dwelling in an informal settlement today, people in that household, almost all of them will have access to a cell phone, they'll have a television set, they'll have a fridge, they'll have an electric kettle. And the same cannot be said about that situation about 2008. So the consumption profile has changed and changed significantly. When you go to the affluent, what are we seeing now? There's less and less reliance on Eskom as a result, in part of load shedding, the incentives that were introduced as part of the Energy Action Plan to incentivize rooftop solar installation. We also know that what has changed over that period is that we are now introducing the South Africa wholesale electricity market. There's now multiple generators, and we're going to get to a stage where we're also going to have the wholesalers who are going to be part of this ecosystem. So they need to be informed by some overarching pricing policy that can determine what the rules will look like from a pricing point of view. We are seeing increasingly the proliferation of estate and closed estate. They are buying in bulk from either the municipality or Eskom, and then they on-sell it or reticulate it in those estates. And that in the process of that, they levy surcharges. And most significantly, over the period under review 2008 to now, electricity has increased by about 907%. That is a tariff increase. Over the same period, the inflation has increased about 150%. It's an untenable situation. It's eroding the disposable income of households. And as you know, that the household consumption is a big part of South Africa's economy, approximately 60% of that. And we're also seeing that our industries are becoming less and less competitive, so we are unable to build a very strong, well-oiled export industry because of the uncompetitive nature in part of electricity pricing, especially for the energy-intensive users. But also the small and medium businesses in the townships, they are finding it increasingly difficult, undermining their entrepreneurial spirit and prowess. The ability of the South African economy to grow is undermined by electricity prices. So it is our view that it is about time for us to ensure that we revise the policy, and we put forward a number of proposals that we want the general public to comment on, and hopefully in the next 30 days we'll have received comprehensive comments, and on the back of that I go back to cabinet and then firm up the policy, and then it will find expression in the regulation, the manner in which NERSA going forward they will conduct its oversight role, and so that the rules are complied with, and also municipalities and ESCOM will now be subject to this pricing policy, Jimmy.
Minister, can we take a look at the policy proposals in a couple of parts?
Yes.
Let's perhaps start with what is being proposed for households. I know you and I in the past have spoken about indigenous households and getting more free electricity to those households at a retail level. And they've also been the households have been the group that's benefited the least, or that's been subjected to those 900% increases that you touched on. An average of more than 45% per year is not sustainable by any stretch. Let's perhaps start with the proposals for them and then look at the proposals for businesses and that after that.
Okay. Yeah, so let me do it by first the benefit to everyone, and then I'll come specifically to indigent and then business. So what we're saying here is to advocate for what we call an efficiency-based pricing. What do we mean, Jimmy and the listeners, is that the bills must be unbundled to indicate the following amongst others. First is the energy cost. I mean, now when you receive a bill, it's an aggregate bill. So you just say electricity, you owe us 600 rand, as an example. So we say, no, you must disaggregate it further. So you must show the energy costs. What are the network charges? So the energy cost, really, to the listeners, it talks to what is the cost of converting, in this instance, coal to electricity. So that's what's happening at the generation level. And then the cost of what we call network charges, the transmission and reticulation. So getting that electricity into your house, it goes through, if you like, highways in the form of big transmission lines, and then it takes the off-ramp, then it gets to municipalities, gets to the pole close to your house, and then ultimately gets to your house. We need to account for that cost, and it must be reflected in the bill. And then any ancillary charges, so this will have to do with municipalities. Perhaps they've installed a transformer to bring down the intensity of the electricity, so that cost must be reflected. And also the cost of municipal charges. By that we mean the municipality will group in the workforce that is responsible for the delivery of electricity. It will be administration, is the chefs who are doing maintenance and the like. If you like, salary bill gets to be aggregated. So it's a cost of constitute the cost of delivering electricity to the end consumer. So we also need to know how you account for that in the bill. More significantly, Jimmy, is the following, is that you and I and all consumers are burdened by the inefficiencies of ESCOM and municipalities. What do I mean by that? So we know that there's what we call technical losses, because municipality and ESCOM have not invested in the reticulation side of the infrastructure. There are line losses. So the ESCOM municipalities will buy 10 rands worth of electricity before they can even supply to end consumers. They have lost 3 rands worth of that electricity. So there's no room to recover because they have lost it as a result of the network that is decaying and that is aging. So what municipalities and ESCOM typically do is that 3 rands that they've lost as a result of their lack of planning, a poor capital allocation in refurbishing and maintaining the infrastructure, they factor it in the tariff. So you are a casualty of inefficiencies from a planning side. The second thing that they will do is on what we call non-technical losses, they are illegal connections. When you drive some of the informal settlements, including big industries, including the big suburbs, the people who have just connected themselves illegally. So instead of municipalities and ESCOM removing that the illegal connections, those losses, then they get to factor them in the tariff. And then there are those who choose not to pay, and they've got the ability to pay. And those contribute to the rising debt level, that which municipalities owe to ESCOM. Now that figure is 110 billion. And that which customers owe to municipalities are direct, that they provide the electricity directly to them. That figure is sitting at about 450 billion. So if you put it together, the debt is about 560 billion. So what do municipalities and ESCOM do? Their inability or their lack of enthusiasm to collect that money is then factored into the tariff. Let me give you a live example. The current tariff that we are paying now, there's about 1.5 percentage point of that tariff. That is in lieu of ESCOM's inability to collect the debt. So we say, no, that can't be the case. So what you are doing essentially is that you are burdening the diligent consumer. So you are as a result of Ramakgopa not paying electricity and resulting in increasing debt, what we do, we choose to penalize Jimmy. Jimmy is a diligent payer, so Jimmy must pay us more because we are going to factor that into the tariff. We say, no, that's unacceptable, so you determine the rules. So NERSA, as the regulator, will say, there's a threshold above which you cannot factor that amount into the tariff. So how do you arrive at that threshold? There's an internationally best, recognized best practice of what should constitute technical losses. Anything above that, municipalities can recover it from the tariff. So that applies to everyone. Now, having said all of the above, you have unbundled the tariff, you account for everything, you remove all the hidden costs. Because what you are seeing now, you find that people in the suburb, more affluent suburbs, I levied significantly higher tariffs on account of cross-subsidization, when in fact the costs are hidden. So we say, no, make all the costs visible to everyone. In instances where there's cross-subsidization, we know how it obtains. It's in the time of use and also the quantum of consumption. And typically, an affluent household will have a pool pump. They'll have multiple rooms, multiple geysers, and therefore their consumption is higher. And once you reach a particular threshold, also the rate of the tariff is higher. That's how you achieve a cross-subsidization. But currently the situation is that it is hidden, so you really don't have an appreciation of what that is. From and then the more, the less affluent, less privileged, so you determine a threshold of what is the qualification to be considered a poor household. Generally, what municipalities have been doing, they say household, total household income 3,500 and less, you qualify to be indigent. That's fine. But in terms of that indigent policy, we said those who are qualifying households are entitled to 50 kilowatt hour of electricity per month for free. I just said when I started that the consumption profile have changed. And in fact, ESCOM and municipalities have got real-time data, it's longitudinal data over that period of time. We are able to see what has been the change in profile. We know now that to achieve the level of subsidization and relief to the poor, we need to peg that at the range of anything between 200 to 300 kilowatt hour per month of free electricity. But the point we're making is that we don't need new money. So already National Treasury, Jimmy and the listeners, provides about 21 billion rand for free basic electricity. You add sanitation, I think that total amount of subsidy support from National Treasury is about 75 billion. But electricity share of that is 21 billion. So our view is that within that resource envelope, we don't want additional allocation from National Treasury. We are able to achieve that free basic electricity of anything between 200 and 300. How do we achieve that? First, we undermine leakage. There's a lot of households that qualify for free basic electricity, but they don't get that allocation per month because of the leakage. How does the leakage occur? The money flows through the municipalities. It's not the conditional grant. It's clubbed with all the grants given to municipalities. What municipalities do when it reaches them, they reallocate it to other spending pressures. The same applies to ESCOM, because ESCOM relies on municipalities to put together an indigent register. There's very few credible indigent registers in the country. So the money is lost in the system. People don't benefit. To give you and the listeners a sense, that 21 billion can support about 2.5 million people, consumers in the country. Only 400,000 of the 2.4 million are getting that subsidy. 2 million households are not getting it as a result of the leakage. So that's one. Two is that instead of continued over-reliance on fiscal support, what we can do is to build microgrids in the form of solar PV hybrid solutions. And then we know now we're bringing down the cost of primary energy because we're using sun and then we store it. And then during this peak period, we draw from the storage, that's the battery. We have live examples. We have rolled out multiple grids. The latest microgrids, the latest that we have done is in the two villages of Mavete and Madimbo in Musina. That program has been running for close to a year. 1 gigawatt of supply. We know that we can really suppress the cost of electricity, significantly lower than what even Eskom generates. So we know it's possible. So you're going to use part of the 21 billion to build this grid. And we don't have to be reliant on the fiscus into perpetuity. And that's the point we are making. The last one is on the negotiated price agreements. What are these NPAs in short? These were instruments in the erstwhile or the current electricity pricing policy, which we are updating. That says that the industries that are in distress can go to Eskom and then go to the regulator and ask for a relief from a tariff point of view. And really, these are industries that are energy intensive users. The recent example is what we have done with Lenco and Somanco. They issued Section 189 notices on the back of their inability to compete with the Chinese players, because the Chinese smelters are significantly subsidized. The 62 cents kilowatt hour of electricity, they were paying us, Eskom, about 135. They can't compete. And then there's a number of requirements. There's a minimum amount of electricity you must consume. You must run the machines for 24 hours. There's a qualification criteria. They met all of that. We gave them the 62 cents. We are now doing about 7 other entities. They are in a different category. They are subjected to that robust treatment. Remember, the key here, Jimmy, is that we are not going to socialize that cost. So Eskom has got a clinical way of how we were able to accommodate, absorb that reduction in the tariff. So that instrument was used solely to provide relief to companies that are in distress. This policy makes another argument, is that that's the one side. The other side is that you can use electricity as a lever to catalyze the South African economy. So DTIC can identify as part of the industrialization strategy to say, no, but there are these sectors that gives us, if they were to be supported, they are likely going to give us the fastest growth, employment absorption, they are transformative, whatever the case may be. And if they were to be given a reduced tariff, they are likely going to thrive. So in this instance, it's not a defensive instrument. It's an offensive one. Offensive in that you see an opportunity, you are pursuing it. So we are making provision for that in this policy. And the last 2 points I want to make is that we also are incentivizing rooftop solar. But this is what we are doing on the rooftop solar. It's really about net billing. So what we're doing is that there are periods of the day where you have installed rooftop solar, you generate maximum electricity that your system can generate, possibly theoretically generate. You feed it back into the grid, and then during this period you are drawing from the grid. So we're saying that we are going to net it, and then where there's a positive, we credit to your bill. So it's not a physical transfer of money, it's not an exchange of money, but it's how we credit your bill. So in this way, people can see the return on investments on their rollout of rooftop, because you can see the bill is coming down substantively. Oh, let me just make the last point is that there's an issue of resellers in the country. So you have a Jimmy who stays in a suburb somewhere in Mooi Kloof, Pretoria East. The person who developed the estate buys electricity from Tshwane for bulk, or buys a bulk from Eskom, and then resells it to the developers in that estate. And he places a surcharge on that. We say, no, it can't be arbitrary, that surcharge. You must show that there's value you have added. So if you have reticulated, you have connected the houses, there's a transformer that you have bought using your own money, account for that, but it can't be arbitrary. You go to a township, my mother's house there, you find that there are backyard dwellers. Someone purchases electricity, of course, gives to the tenants, but charges the tenants significantly more than what he or she purchases from the municipality. He says, no, That can't be allowed. So we'll come with the regulations on behalf of the, on the back of policy to define the role of the resellers, because people are overburdened in some of these estates. Of course, I mean, they come, many of them as a result of seeking for security, at least those who are affluent. But then you get to be subjected to these costs, which are arbitrary. So that's what the pricing policy does, Jimmy, in a nutshell. And we are inviting comments from the public.
A revision of South Africa's electricity pricing policy is underway, and its fundamental goal is to ensure better equitable distribution of electricity and more affordable electricity for South African households. We'll have to leave the conversation on that note. Dr. Josensu Ramokgopa, Minister of Electricity, giving us a sense of the policy currently out for comment and what would be gazetted to Parliament after that comment window has closed.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.